you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, July 5th, 2019. And I'm going to jump right in, Jason, reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And then I'm going to have a question for you because I have verses 10 through 11 with a parenthesis and a star, usually like a star or an asterisk means, oh, this is important or significant or keep thinking about it. But I wrote your name in my Bible, so maybe you can help me figure out.
As long as you didn't cross out Jesus' name and write mine.
Yeah, good. That's right. So this must have been something you preached on or taught, or I don't know if I took this Bible maybe on a trip to Israel, but I put a big, in caps, Jason Schiffo. But I'm struck by these verses 5 through 8 because I was telling you just before we began this program that it's like I want to be about these things, these qualities, because if you are, you're bringing glory to God and you're assured to be in the center of his will. So let me read this for everyone. Hopefully, as you listen, yes, you want to jump on board and be about the Lord's work and want to be ever increasing in these attributes or these gifts. Reading from the fifth verse of 2 Peter chapter 1, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance goodness, and to goodness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and so that's really important, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. And then this is the section where I have it parentheses and then your name. Therefore, my brothers, be all more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, so that's obviously referring to the things I just mentioned above, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Jason Schiffo. So did you preach on this? So I'm sure at some point you preached on this, but
I don't remember, honestly. I mean, I possibly could have, or I possibly, maybe we were talking about it, maybe on a radio, who knows?
Yeah.
I actually wrote that section.
Yeah, this was your former life when you were the Apostle Peter. Well, I'm reading this book. I was telling you all this story, but there's this book that I just started reading a few days ago called St. Peter's Principle. And it's interesting that I'm reading it because within the last few weeks, I was telling Marianne and someone else, you know, what's that principle? What's that called? It's not Murphy's Law, where when you rise to your level of incompetency, it's like, you know, people in business, they get promoted, then they get promoted again. But usually that last promotion is usually a point where they either fail or they're incompetent. They were really good at sales and then they were a sales manager and they did real well. But then when they became area sales manager or something above that, they didn't grow or develop, or they still did what they used to do, and so they became incompetent. And so that's called the Peter Principle. I didn't know that, or I couldn't remember that. Well, this book is called St. Peter's Principle, and it's basically saying, recognize you are incompetent, if I'll use one of your sayings, if you lean into the Lord, as you recognize you're incompetent, you're useful for God's work. And so it's kind of flipping the Peter's Principle and saying the St. Peter's Principle is recognizing you are incompetent and get over that, but lean into the Lord and recognize that he will equip you to do great things. And so this book is called St. Peter's Principle, and it's a study on the leadership of the Apostle Peter. So it takes his kind of life journey and his failures and then shows how God, in fact, used him to launched the church and be very significant. I think it was in the Jerusalem church and then the you know, the beginnings of Christendom, if you will. But anyways, it took me to this passage this morning, and I just thought, you know what? I want to be about goodness, knowledge, add to knowledge self-control, add to self-control perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and then love. And then if you do those things, if you operate in that, you will be productive for the Lord. So it's one of those things I want to write on a card and think about often, that, Lord, you know, if you're not growing in these areas, you're going to be ineffective and unproductive. But if you are growing and learning and developing, then there'll be fruits to God's glory. So I think that's what you and I want to be about. And hopefully those of you tuned in today, you're going to be about in the days ahead as you just surrender to the Lord, allow Him to work in and through your incompetence. I didn't even like the title of this book. I was telling you this. You know, it's probably a pride thing, or, you know, us men, we don't want to be needy. We don't want to be incompetent. We want to be effective. This says, St. Peter's Principles, Leadership for Those Who Already Know Their Incompetence. And I'm like, oh, God. But I'm learning the incompetence is the fact that we're fallen, we're sinful, we need the Lord. That's primarily, we all got to recognize that. We are incompetent in our own strength and abilities. I don't know. I'm only like 20 pages into this book, but it's igniting something in me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what's going on? Why am I reading this at this point in time?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because the book is the St. Peter's Principle. And you would think that then that has to be a book on how not to do something. Because when we look at the life of Peter, he's the guy who is constantly making mistakes. He's the guy who gets out of the boat and sinks. He's the guy who denies Jesus three times. And he's the guy who has to be invited back three times. He's the guy who later on Paul will rebuke when Peter makes some mistakes. So Peter constantly is having problems. So when we think about a book about Peter, at least the principles of Peter, I think my first almost knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, that must be a book on how not to do what it is that we're ought to do.
Yeah.
And let's lay that book aside, and can somebody get me Paul's principles?
Yes.
Because everybody wants the ministry of Paul. But what's interesting is, Peter, for me, is one of the most hopeful characters in the Bible because of all the things that I already mentioned, all the ways that Peter's incompetence should have stood in the way of his being able to have any prominence in the biblical text. And yet, on the day of Pentecost, as the Spirit falls upon the church, as the church becomes the church and is thrust out into the world, who is it but incompetent Peter who preaches the first sermon of the church and 3,000 people come to faith?
Yeah.
I mean, if there's any hope, I mean, if you're listening to this program and you're thinking, you know, I'm incompetent on that, Peter preached the first sermon of the church and 3,000 people came to faith through Peter, you know, faith in Christ through Peter, how God was using Peter. And so Peter is a bastion of hope for me. You know, he's kind of a light in the distance where you go, listen, gosh, I've screwed up, God. He goes, I know, I got this other guy who screwed up too,
yeah.
But I still used him powerfully. And it's interesting, the verse that you chose, and I realize maybe that we must have talked about this. Well, obviously, you wrote my name by it. This is a verse, or at least where you began, is a place where people like to begin when they like to talk about how their faith has to involve works. Because it begins in verse 5, right? For this reason, make every effort. Okay, now my faith involves my effort. Okay, I've got to give it every effort. My work must depend upon this. And then later on in verse 10, it says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. So, okay, yes, Jesus made the way, but it's only sure if I do the work. It's only confirmed in my diligence. So those could actually be interpretive places, things you could arrive at if you started in verse 5. The problem is you have to start in verse 3. And verse 3 says, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. By the way, the verse is actually open in two by saying, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So only grace and peace can be multiplied to you through God and through the work of Christ. Now, this also not mentioned in here, but absolutely important, is the Holy Spirit. Because the only reason that we can see Christ is because the Counselor, the Spirit of truth, will lead us into all truth. He'll remind us of the truth. What truth will He remind us? The truth that Jesus is Lord. And so the grace and the peace that is multiplied to us comes to us as the Holy Spirit leads us victoriously to God's Son, who was sent by God the Father. And so in that, we have divine power that's been granted to us, mm-hmm. all things that pertain to life and godliness. So right away, this thing depends upon divine power, not human effort.
Right.
And that's the problem when we begin in verse 5, is when we begin in verse 5, it seems like human effort is the cornerstone of how we do this thing. And as you've already said, from the St. Peter's principle, I haven't read the book, but I'm just going from the title, it highlights our incompetence, which means that there must be a power at work inside of us that is not us. And the Bible tells us that in Corinthians. It says that we are like clay. I'm going to paraphrase, but we are like clay vessels, that we're fragile. And the reason why we are that is so that it will be evident to others and to all the surpassing power that is at work in us. That there is another power that's greater than us. Peter calls it divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his glory and excellence by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. So it is the sacrifice of God's Son which gives us this divine power. It's the sacrifice of his Son, the Holy Spirit who comes and dwells inside of us that gives us the power to understand, to live life and godliness. And in that, we understand in a different way, a greater way, his very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Once you see the promise, you can't help but become a partaker in the promise. And it's been granted to you by what Christ did on the cross. Yeah. It's been shown to you by the Holy Spirit. And so verses 3 through 4 are the equipping. It's showing us how it is that we can actually do this thing that God has called us to do. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so listen, everything that could drag us down, everything that could hold the boat in place, all the anchors that could hold the boat in place have been cut. They've been severed in Christ. And now we are free to sail in the strength and the power that Christ has called us because we escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So you read verses 3 through 4, and that's why 5 begins and says, for this very reason. Well, what reason? The divine work that is at work in us, Christ's sacrifice, which has freed us from the sinful moorings of the world. And so now, for this reason, make every effort. Now, see, that isn't a human effort, though. That means that you now have the ability to make the effort.
Right.
You didn't have that ability before. And so the only reason that there is effort is because God has made possible that effort. And so then the Bible tells us that we need to move with diligence. Because why? Because we're partakers in the divine. Don't you want to be, if you want to be diligent in anything, aren't you not be diligent in the divine? Because we've been made sons and daughters. And listen, us being made sons and daughters, in the midst of that, growth in Christ doesn't just happen. The Bible even says that we water, that we're watered. We're watered, we water one another with the word, that we're watered and we grow up in Christ. And so our growth in the Christian life doesn't just happen to us. We're supposed to be diligent. We're supposed to be pursuing. We're supposed to be careful and intentional
right.
in following the Lord. And so then he says, add to your faith virtue. So listen, we begin our life with God with faith. But faith progresses into virtue, right? Virtue, what is virtue? This set of things that become evident because we have faith in Christ. The Bible also calls those the fruits of the Spirit. Now, this list looks a little different, but you know what I want to do actually is I want to depart from my ESV and I want to go to the message because when I'm trying to explain something to somebody, sometimes the simplest terms are very good. And the message actually has this amazing way. In fact, in my Bible, it doesn't say Jason Schiffo. It says, see the message.
Yeah.
It says, beginning in verse 5, don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given.
Hmm.
Which means, this is why I love what the message says. This means that God has laid the cornerstone, the first stone of the house, the stone that denotes that the house will be straight in Christ Jesus. He is the cornerstone. Don't lose a minute building on what's been given. That cornerstone's been laid, so start adding bricks to it. And he says, from your faith, good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline. I love alert discipline, which means that I'm alert to the places where I'm undisciplined. Passionate patience. Who ever thought about that? Passionate patience.
Yeah. All right.
That you're passionate about being patient. Reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. See, those are the things that the Bible is telling us should begin to come out of our faith. These are the bricks that once we put our faith in Christ and the cornerstone has been laid and we begin to build upon that, what do we lay bricks? Good character. When people see you, what you do and how you do it, it tells them something about who you are following. Spiritual understanding. When somebody asks you who you're following, you can actually explain it. Alert discipline, which means that when temptation and those things come into your life, you are disciplined enough to avoid them, disciplined enough to address them. You are not undisciplined, but you're disciplined. You are passionately patient. Listen, if there's something that all of us need, it's that. And you are reverent in your wonder, which means that when you look out, you don't go, darn, that's a beautiful sunrise. You go, man, God is good. And warm friendliness. How can we not, when we know how much Christ has loved us and the acceptance that we have in him, not be warm and then generous love? We can only love because God first loved us. And then it says this in the message, with these qualities active and growing in your life, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious to your old sinful life that's been wiped off the books. And I love this. That listen, with this, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass where you are not repenting and growing closer to Christ. And so listen, just think about this. Peter's building ahead of steam, isn't he? Peter starts out by saying, look at the divine power, and look at what Christ has done, and our old sinful lives are gone. And listen, we laid the basic stone of faith, and now we're laying stones of good character, spiritual understanding, discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, generous love. Don't let any grass grow under your feet. Do you understand how rewarding it is to grow in Christ? Your old sinful life has been left behind. And that's why he arrives at verse 10 and says, brothers, you have then no excuse not to be diligent in confirming your election and calling. Why wouldn't you? And this is where I'll defer to the message again because I love this. This verse I love in the message. So, friends, confirm God's invitation to you, his choice of you. Don't put it off. Do it now. Do this, and you'll have your life on firm footing, the streets paved and the way wide open to the eternal kingdom of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. It says, listen, the road is wide open in your growth in Christ and what he's going to have you do in the world. When you know all that you know, don't put off his invitation to join him in changing the world. And I love that. Don't put it off. Do it now. And listen, you're not doing it in your own strength. Don't get all excited and go like, yeah, I'm going to go do it. No, you're not going to go do it. You've been invited to be a part of it being done, but he's going to do it. And the amazing thing is he's going to do it through you.
Right.
And that's amazing. And you're going to be able to look back and go, man, I am so incompetent. And he is so awesome.
Yeah. And that's kind of one of the principles in this book that Peter did recognize, you know, away from me, I'm a sinful man, kind of that, you know, he recognized right away after he had made the blunders and denied Christ and other things. He's like, Lord, I'm unworthy of you. And Jesus says, you know, that's true, but I'm a loving God. You know, I don't know how Jesus actually communicated that, but we are all in that same boat. We are unworthy. We don't deserve it. We can't work our way into heaven. We can't, you know, balance the scales. Well, I did this. I helped the homeless. I tithed. I attended church. Hey, you know, some of those things are good things, but none of it's going to earn us that righteousness that only Christ can deliver on our behalf.
Right, and everything that we think we would have to work to do to get into heaven, the minute that we realize we don't have to do those, we immediately begin to do those anyways, because they're the outpouring of what happens when we understand rightly our place in this thing. People who understand the power, majesty, calling, and invitation of Christ, you don't have to give them a tithing sermon. You don't have to give them a sermon on generosity. You don't have to give them a sermon on good character. You don't have to give them a sermon on a lot of things, because they just innately, that comes with being fueled and powered by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I should say to our listeners, in case they're saying, you know, the quality of Jason's voice, or it seems like they're a little distance. Yes, I'm at the old home studio. I'm calling Jason up, you know, with the 4th of July being yesterday and schedules and such. This was the easiest way, and I have a lot of work at the tower to do later today. So this is the old studio that for the first 20 years of the radio broadcast, we do the program from here, and Jason's at his home. You're at home, right? I called you on your cell phone, so I'm not sure where you're at.
I'm at home. Yes, I am.
You're at home. Thank you, God, for the technology. And you had no idea I was going to launch into 2 Peter. This was just something that God put on my heart last night. And then when I read it earlier this morning, I just thought, you know, I'm going to bring this up. And I grabbed just one of the many Bibles off the shelf. And this one, for whatever reason, had your name in it right next to these verses. So I thought, okay, that's a good starting point. But you can't go wrong when you open God's Word, no matter where you're at. You know, there's always something that He'd like to speak to us, to teach us, to tell us, to reveal, bring conviction or hope, or, you know, maybe a word that we need to recognize and, you know, find strong conviction in. And Peter, who was flawed like all of us and put his foot in his mouth and said some things he regretted and felt like a huge failure, the Lord puts him in charge of the church and, you know, a foundation point, somebody that was very engaged and involved with launching, if you will, Christianity in that first century.
I would agree 100%. We'd all like to be the Apostle Paul, but I think that most of us are much more like Peter, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. St. Peter's principle, recognizing that we are incompetent, but in the Lord's strength, leaning into Him, watching Him do the work, we can draw great strength and courage and insight and be successful, if you will, in His strength and what He's going to do. And if He so chooses to use us, wow, that's a bonus. That's icing on the cake, as they say.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason, for being available on this post-4th of July or the 4th of July weekend, everyone. Maybe you'll still be traveling through or with family or engaging some cookouts or at the pool. Enjoy the sun. Get the lotion on. Be careful. Don't get sunburned. Rest up. Lots of fluids. And have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.